This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Fia Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. When it comes to the Sustainable Development Goal number 2, Zero Hunger, which means to end hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture, Malaysia is not faring too well, where we are stagnating or increasing by less than 50% to achieve this goal by 2030. We have a decade of action. One company that's attempting to change that is Agros Group, which aims to be the largest vertical indoor farm operators in the country. I'm now speaking to the founder, Gerard Lim. Good morning, Gerard.
Good morning, Frida.
Are you the founder or co-founders?
I'm one of the founders of Agros Group.
Right.
We do have a couple of other individuals who have come together and formed this company together with me.
Right. So your last stint before farming was one of the directors of the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, or MCMC. We at BFM know you very well. Why the change?
Yes. Well, yeah, thanks, Frida, for the introduction. Yes, I was the Chief Digital Officer of MCMC. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've always had a passion for farming as well as food production.
Right.
Partly this stems from some of the work that I did in the area of IoT and big data about 5 years ago. So that was in a different company. And of course, I've been looking forward to serve my country and contribute back where I could. That was through MCMC in the last just about 2 years plus ago. Mm. And obviously, when my stint came to an end at MCMC, I felt that I should go back to my calling, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And the interest in agriculture and food was very much well pronounced, especially during this COVID-19. And this particular pandemic showed that how broken our food system has been all these years, but it became even more apparent during this COVID-19 pandemic. So I felt that, you know, I really needed to do something about it and not wait for others to try and fix it. So together with some buddies of mine and some long-time standing business partners, I rallied everyone together after I left MCMC and said, guys, you know, we've always been dabbling and experimenting in indoor farming, container farming, smart farming of all kinds, and we've always been more the technology providers.
Mm-hmm.
I said that, why don't we take this to the next level and scale it up and do it ourselves and not just sell the technology, but use the technology to really prove that scaling up of indoor farming can actually be done.
Right.
As it has been successful in other countries as well.
Right.
So that's really where it all came to the height of it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today.
Okay.
That's been about 8 months ago.
Yeah. 8 months ago. So in your article in DNA in December, you have 5 million worth of produce orders locked in, another major order closing, announcing intentions to raise 100 million via issuance of redeemable convertible preference shares. What's the status of that?
Yeah, so it's been we've been very, very fortunate, and we've really garnered a lot of interest from a number of individuals and institutions as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been crazy, actually, ever since we pushed forward in terms of the investments full speed ahead in early December last year in 2020. So we put together an investment information memo that we had actually then went around town to raise funds.
Right.
And even during that time, we've just closed a couple of deals.
Mm-hmm.
And today we've got a container farm. We'll be putting up 5 containers in total over in the mines in Sri Kembangan.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 3,000 square feet farm that's being set up as we speak in Sungai Buloh.
Mm-hmm.
And our large scale farm, which is 30,000 square feet, expandable to 90,000 square feet, that's coming up in Shah Alam.
Right.
The bill for that will start in the later part of April, which is just 6 months. So that large-scale farm, 30,000 expendable to 90,000 square feet, is where we're raising the 100 million ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
And happy to report that we are about halfway there in terms of fundraising.
Right.
So we've been a good support from a number of individuals, high net worth individuals here in Malaysia.
Right.
And we've gotten them all very excited, and we look forward to the support of several others. And you know, a particular individual is even potentially pledging to commit the full sum.
Mm.
So we'll take it all in stride and build step by step. Mm. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, as they say.
So would you be?
And honestly, we need to build this step by step, because otherwise we might be overwhelmed by the effort of stretching the team too much to build everything in one go. So it needs to be done over the next 12 months.
Right. Would you be looking at equity crowdfunding?
Yeah, we've had a look at equity crowdfunding. I think at this point in time, we are not discounting any kind of funding approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Equity crowdfunding, in addition to RCPS, we've been looking at some debt financing and, you know, and certain international organizations and investors has also been speaking to us. Certain people from the UK, from the Middle East, even from US, we've been entertaining a lot of phone calls and especially video calls almost a few a week over the last 2 to 3 months. So it's really been very encouraging, and I would say we've been extremely blessed. And I've also been very blessed to have a fantastic team working together in building this, what I like to call now is more like our mission, you know, and sharing in this common vision that we all have. So yeah, we've garnered a lot of interest, especially through our online and circle of influence.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about 100 million, right, to build this high-tech indoor vertical farms, right? Do people say, why does it need to take so much money?
Yeah, so it is capital intensive. So that's one of the hurdles, if you like, to cross, is that the system itself to do indoor vertical farming, it is a controlled environment agriculture. So in order to put that together, you need to build clean rooms, right, to start off with. And then you'll need to equip in those clean rooms. So clean rooms are pretty much what you would find in certain pharmaceutical, if you want to produce certain medicine, or in certain medical work, if you were to also talk about semiconductor manufacturing. Yeah, so those are the sort of white clean rooms that you would see in a lot of movies or, pictures, right? And so in those rooms will also be equipped with all kinds manner of technologies, starting with hydroponics. And on the hydroponics itself, we'll have LED lights, fully air conditioned, climate control, and so on and so forth. It's a multitude of technologies. So all of these cost a lot of money.
Right.
But at the same time, given that we are growing at scale and it's stacked up, in our case, 8 layers high, the yield per square feet is high as well. And with the advancements in technologies, especially with LED lights complemented with the rooftop of all our farms, especially large-scale farms, has solar panels. So we also feed off the electricity from the solar to power our vertical farm. So that's our two-farm concept. Right. The solar farm at the rooftop and the indoor farm below the roof. So all of these technologies cost money, and given what we are growing and at the right price point that's suitable for the market, ROI is still within about 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
So we can get reasonable turnaround time in terms of the return on investment. So it's worth the investments, but in order to get it going, to jumpstart it, it takes a fair amount of investments, and that deters a lot of people. So that itself becomes a barrier to entry, if you like.
Right.
But we have shown and repeatedly that it can be sustainable, and it is predictable and repeatable, if you like. So that's where I guess we just have to bite the bullet and get it done.
Okay. And okay, so are the vegetables cost competitive, and where can people find them?
It is price competitive. We are pricing it below what you would typically find is the price of an organic vegetable. So we need to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples, right? Because what we're growing is high quality, really clean and fresh vegetables that is equals to those that are typically grown as organic vegetables, right? Simply because we also use organic nutrients. We do not use any kind of pesticides or fungicides or herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
So there's zero harmful chemicals in our growing process.
Right.
So the vegetables are also fresh. We can deliver fresh from farm to plate within hours, if you like,
mm-hmm.
from the time it's harvested to the time it lands on your plate.
Mm.
So that's our unique selling point or value proposition, if you like.
Right.
Obviously, not everyone appreciates that. I guess some people are just saying that, oh, I'm happy with the vegetables I'm getting today,
mm.
even though it may be filled with pesticides and, you know, all kinds mm. of dangerous chemicals, but people will then tend to just buy what they can afford.
Mm.
But we would compare ourselves with organic vegetables, and on that note, we are price competitive to what's being sold in the supermarkets or the grocers that you'll find in the Malaysian market today. And at the same time, of course, we are here not to try and grow everything under the sky.
Mm.
So we do pick and choose based on market demand a certain range of vegetables.
Mm.
Currently, our top-selling vegetable is kale.
Ah.
So kale has been in huge demand.
I was just going to ask.
We've had more demand than we can actually supply when it comes to kale.
Mm.
So some of the farms that we are setting up, we are dedicating a significant amount of space to just grow kale.
Right.
And kale is very difficult to grow in an open farm because you tend to attract a lot of bugs and insects.
Mm.
I guess the bugs and bacteria also knows what's best for them.
Right.
So kale is very, very high in antioxidants, you know, very nutritious. So they tend to attract the insects as well. So you end up bringing a lot of pesticides. But in our controlled environment, you can grow kale. It's still not easy, but
right.
we've been able to grow kale very successfully.
Right.
And so we've been supplying it. Where you can buy our vegetables today, we do supply already direct to a select number of consumers.
Mm-hmm.
In certain locations around Klang Valley.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, we don't have a lot of supply at this point in time,
mm-hmm.
which is why we need to accelerate the build-up of these large-scale farms.
Mm.
But we supply what we have. Mm. And we've also been supplying to a few restaurants, eateries around parts of Kuala Lumpur. And, of course, we've been also supplying through some online marketplaces.
Mm.
There's one that I'd like to call out called So Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to sofresh.my. You can actually buy our mixed salad bowl from their site.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You can actually place the orders there right now. So we also supply our vegetables, put it together into ready-to-eat salad bowls.
Mm. All right. And I know something like this has been very successful in the Netherlands, which is, you know, land scarce as well, right?
And absolutely.
Right. We'll continue our conversation after this. Very interesting. I'm speaking to Gerard Lim from Agros Group. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Burden free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Gerard Lim from Agros Group, and their goal is to be one of the largest vertical indoor farm operators in the country. So you were saying earlier your immediate target is to have 100 square feet of total vertical farms dotted across middle to upper income neighbourhoods in the Klang Valley. Is there a timeline for this and where are you now?
Yep, so we have the farms in the containers in mines in Sri Kembangan is fully operational. That's how we've been supplying to our existing customers at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
That's producing about 200 kilos from each container per month. And container 2 and 3 are expected to arrive end of April, which is just 6 months. So that should give us around another 600 kilos in total per month. Then the farm in Sungai Buloh is being constructed as we speak. That's will be fully operational by around May.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably see the first harvest by end of June. So it takes about 2 to 3 months to put a farm together and then grow within a month thereafter. And we can start selling by week 5 or 6.
Mm.
So pretty quick turnaround. The large-scale farms in Shah Alam, that's the 30,000 expandable to 90,000,
mm-hmm.
will be starting work in late April. That will take about 3 to 4 months to put together because of the size, sheer size of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll expect to start growing in that particular facility by August.
Right.
And hope to have a significant event to announce and do some kind of a ceremony by September, early September.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the dates that we're working towards. It's a lot of work, but it's really fulfilling work.
Right. And your tagline is farm to fork in minutes. And is this to address the carbon footprint challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole purpose of these farms is to actually be within the community. So I've always maintained that it's about community-based, you know, located within the community to then feed the community itself. Mm. So because we've been seeing that a lot of quality vegetables and A-grade, if you like, is actually being exported out of our country.
Mm.
And the irony of it is that the A-grade vegetables that you see in the on the grocers are actually being imported, right? So not to say we don't produce enough, but, you know, we could do even more. Mm. So the idea is to put the farms in the local community, feeding the local community itself.
Mm.
And at the same time, creating jobs for our local communities. So we look towards creating a few hundred jobs for individuals. You know, some of them are certainly high-value jobs as well, because we'll be looking at technologies, agronomies, and building individuals to become indoor farmers, if you like.
Mm.
So it's a whole new category of jobs that we're looking to create that is not in existence today.
Mm. Right. And also, you were also saying there were plans to use a hotel to do what you're doing right now.
Yes.
And how's it going? And I suppose there's lots of, you know, unutilized properties, high-rise buildings around. How's that coming along?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been offered. I mean, Peter, you can only imagine. We've been, ever since we sort of broke news of what we've been doing early this year, we've been inundated with lots of calls, emails, inquiries, people stepping up to say, hey, you know, I've got a building here, I've got a building in all the way out in Pahang, JB, different parts of KL, from Cheras to what have you, in Sri Damansara. So, yeah, we are looking at a few other locations, but at the same time, we need to stay focused and build our first scale-up farm to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shah Alam was strategically chosen because of the population, especially in the mid to upper income, in and around the areas of Shah Alam.
Right.
We've got Suruhanjaya, USJ, Sunway, all the way down to Klang. And of course, Shah Alam itself is a large captive audience.
Mm.
For our produce. So, and of course, from there, within half an hour, we can be even in the city center, serving different parts. Yeah. So yeah, we are looking at a few other locations, but at this point in time, focus is important for us to deliver our first large-scale farms.
Right.
As far as the hotel downtown in KL, we're keeping things warm.
Mm.
We may venture to set up a small-scale farm in the hotel itself.
Mm.
That's to serve the needs of that specific 5-star hotel.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that will be interesting. And that particular hotel literally faces the KLCC park.
Okay.
Right.
So, no, names,
without letting the name of the hotel.
Okay. Names will not be mentioned. Okay. I wanted to also.
Yeah. I'll mention it when we confirm and seal the deal with them first.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll definitely invite you, Frida, for the opening.
Okay. And you were also saying that, you know, in the article that, you know, doing this translates to jobs, right? How so?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think I mentioned briefly earlier that we are looking to create, you know, for every, to begin with, we don't need as many people to operate these farms as compared to, right, just put into context, compared to an open farm, right?
Yeah.
Because in an open farm, if you're familiar with the way in which it operates, you'll need to have individuals on staff to look at things like spraying of, whether you like it or not, when you are growing in an open farm, you are open to the environment, you're open to all kinds of insects and bugs and so on. Whether you like it or not, and of course weather. So you'll have to deal with those insects and bugs, right? Whether you spray chemical-based pesticide or organic type, methods to actually fight the bugs. You know, there are so many ways these days, but the fact that you do need a team of people to be ready, ever ready to address the issues of bugs and pesticides and so on and so forth. So we have none of that need because we are in a completely controlled environment. Even the watering and the nutrients or the fertilizing of the plants itself is fully automated because we've got a dosing system with an automated mixing of the nutrients with the water. And the water itself is actually fully controlled using pumps and all kinds of hydroponic systems that we use. So we do not need as many people, but there's still tender loving care, I always call it, that you do need to provide to the plant. So when it comes to the seedling, the transplanting to the nursery, and from the nursery to the growth layers, we call it. So those need careful and detailed attention by a person. So we have those individuals as our vertical farmers, right? Because they grow these vegetables in these vertical modules that we have. So those are sort of the new ways of farming that we are introducing, and as such, creating jobs. Then over and beyond that, the, given the, all the different manners of technologies, we do need some technologies, mechanical engineers, mechatronic engineers, electrical and electronic engineers to be on staff as well to manage the entire system that we actually have. So these are higher value jobs. Then there's also the agronomists, individuals who understand plant biology. And as such, we also have a number of them being recruited. Not everyone is fully on board, but the whole process is there. So if I could also do a quick shout out to say anyone who's looking for a job interested to be an indoor vertical farm, can always write into us and write into me so that we could see how we could build this venture together. We do need a number of people. So there are jobs that we will be creating. The other thing that I like to just point out is that some of these jobs are also capable to be done by those that are very good with their hands, but may not have the necessary levels of education, if you like, right? So there's pockets of communities that I like to actually provide jobs to. So Shah Alam, for example, is located just about 500 meters away from some of the nearby PPR flats. These are low-cost housing flats. So, you know, we are also looking at creating jobs for some of the individuals within that particular segment of the society so that they can also look forward to contributing into this new way of farming, if you like. Right? And it's literally within walking distance to their home. So some of these farms that we have built are also being strategically chosen to also provide the opportunities for jobs to be created for this segment of society. Because I personally believe in wanting to get everyone, you know, to be not just the word inclusive, but really to get everyone on board to benefit from this particular venture.
All right. It's, it sounds like a exciting times and a lot of hard work ahead, but, you know, you will see the fruit of your labor, although you're not growing fruits. I'm looking forward to it. I'm always very excited about something we can do where we are not so dependent on imports, and that we are, you know, sustainable in our own country.
Absolutely. I mean, Frida, if I may just add, it's all about, you know, the whole goal of this, the purpose is really all about food safety, food security, and sustainability. So these are just the three big buzzwords, but it is really fundamentally what we live by all day in Agros.
So thank you very much for your time. I've been speaking to Gerard Lim from Agros Group. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.